have some course. Science experiments that are designed to dazzle the mind tonight.
The podcast is history.
Oh my gosh.
Cutting Edge Radio.
I was going to say, I kind of got lost.
You're all scot-free. You're all scot-free on that. Where my sister can get it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not worried because I try to avoid public as much as I can.
I understand, based on my knowledge of history, that the president usually gets 4 years.
How are we doing it here?
Oh my gosh.
Georgia, it's a real place.
Some of the people who live down the town, who actually, I actually talked to one of the women at the boarding house, who are boarding house.
Ooh,
oh my gosh.
Some of that, that will make you go blind. There's a whole passion.
Oh my gosh.
Science experiments. Hey Bob, hey John, awesome. How are you guys?
It's great to see you,
Mateo. Great to see you guys.
Great to see you with that cool lighting, like Comedy Store. Yeah. Is that what it's supposed to be? Wait, the Comedy Club?
I'm at the Comedy Store right now.
You put on the show for us, Clark?
I flew in from Allentown. Boy, are my arms tired. And we can say.
I heard someone evolve that joke.
And, what happened?
He goes, somebody evolved that joke like to make it like even dumber. Like, hey, I just got here from Allentown, and boy, are my arms tired. Like, he doesn't even say I flew. He just says like I got here from Allentown, and boy, are my arms tired.
Boy, are my arms tired. I love when I was listening to. Have you guys listened to Chris? What's his name? DiStefano. No, the comedian.
So, weird that you bring him up.
Oh, did you watch his special?
No, because I don't think he's that funny, and I just can't. I can't stand him. And like Artie Lang really like propelled him. And then he like got there, and he like kind of, and he's the only episode of Neil Brennan's that I didn't listen to, until like 5 days ago, and now I like him.
Neil Brennan's good. I feel the same way. I don't think he's funny at all. His stand up, it's very like, it's like a 2015 kind of like, hey, let me say some shocking jokes kind of thing. I don't think his stand-up, I don't think it's, like, very crafty.
Potato man.
But listening to him in an interview, like, just, he was with, did, like, 2 hours with Bill Maher the other day, just drinking, shooting
long.
The shit. And he was, like, one of the most, like, fascinating, articulate guys. It reminded me, on the other end of the spectrum, kind of like Tyson.
A little bit of figuring out process of what we are.
You're like, when you listen to Tyson, you're like, this guy's fascinating to listen to. Like, the words he uses.
There's no one that can match me.
DiStefano was, like, talking about Christ. And, you know, Bill Maher's, like, a huge atheist. And he's like, oh, you know, he was shooting him down. And he was just going, like, on and on about, like, theological scholars. And it was almost, like, autistic. And I'm like, wow, this guy's fascinating. But then you watch his stand-up and you're like, oh, it's not that good.
It's interesting, dude.
I can't
it's
see
so
you
funny.
By the way, John. Is that, do you just not
yeah,
have your
I don't
camera?
Know why. No, I do.
I didn't know if you were going incognito tonight because
John's ashamed. John just got some Botox and I think he's just ashamed.
The brow was getting now? Furry. I just see the Comic John logo.
Comic John. Really annoying. This shit.
No longer the Comic John. It's the Jonathan Hassinger channel.
That's right. Yeah, dude. I always was like, yo, he's not that funny. He has like a podcast, and he's like one of those guys that has like three different podcasts, and they're all named something cheesy, play on his name, like Chrissy Chaos and the No Presh Network. I'm like,
the Specialty Weshy.
And he like pushes being Italian like a little too much. But then on Blocks, on Neil Brennan's podcast, he found out he's not even Italian. So he like
no, he's like pure Anglo.
He's finally like admitting that like he doesn't even have a gimmick. But like Artie Lang, like for some stupid reason, like gave him a chance. And then he becomes friends with the other comedians. And
oh, that's good.
I had respect for him after that.
Artie Lang was on cocaine.
Yeah. Good call, John. Hey, Bob. You know, I was listening to him speak, and he talked about how he's like, yeah, when you start out, you're not doing that well. And then, you know, if you have it, you're then next thing you know, I'm selling out Radio City, and it took a long time. But when you look at his career trajectory, it's like 2015, he starts out like doing a club. In 2016, he's like headlining something on Comedy Central. I'm like, right. No, you got bumped up there. No comedian gets a break in a year. Like, ask.
Yes.
Because I'm friends with a lot of comedians in LA. They all said the same thing. It takes 10 to 15 years to even start getting that boost. That's why, like, Bill Burr and those guys, they're all like in their mid 30s when they're doing like TV and stuff. It just takes a long time. So when he was like, yeah, you know, I put in my dues, I'm like, no, you didn't. You got jacked right up there. Like,
he's like one step above Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, right. His podcast. I don't know why I brought him up. I watched his special last night. That's why. Because I really enjoyed him on Bill Maher. I thought just one-on-one, like, I could listen to him all day. But it's the stand-up that, you know, isn't funny. And the interview with Bill Maher was kind of fun because he kept making in jokes, like sliding them in, and Bill just, I guess, kind of ignored him, didn't get him. So because there's no audience, it just
Bill's like just not in like on mode, like on that podcast. He's like not on. He's like off, and he has these comedians who are like in this habit of just always being on, and I say like 50% go over his head, probably more, because he's like not even paying attention.
Doesn't even pay attention.
Yeah, he's thinking about his next little quip.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you guys? I'm sorry to jump around. I wanted to share. We're all Jaws fans. Bob, you just watched it the other week, which yes. I love that you watched it in like late December, early January. I was like, yes, it's happening.
It's the best movie ever.
It's the best movie ever.
There are it's
perfect.
There are many movies. There are a few movies that you can say are as good as it, but there are no movies you can say are better than it. It's just
that's perfect. A good call.
Yes.
I believe it can never be duplicated. It was that style of filmmaking with a young Spielberg and a young Roy Scheider at the time, and that
they had to make it like magic. That because the shark was so bad. Like, the mechanical shark was or at least they thought it was so bad. Like, if you watch the movie, it's really not that bad for that time period.
I thought it was so bad.
You don't see that shark really in totality until like the last 35 minutes of the movie.
Made him myself. Pretty good stuff.
Thanks.
Right. It has like, I think it's like 5 minutes of screen time or something. Like the whole like 2.5 hour movie.
Made him myself. Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Something like that.
Yeah. And it's the first time that makes it.
The first time you see him is when he does the, he's throwing the chum.
Yeah, and he does the jump back. Yeah, John, I can't see you, but I assumed you just did the.
I
assumed you just did the jump back. I can just picture it. Well,
it's really
Bob
weird.
And I are in this group. John, you might be in it too. I don't know, but there's a Facebook group called It's Like Jaws Fans. It's just they post everything about Jaws, and people take the time to create fan art, which I think is like
nerd alert.
That can be a very slippery,
nerd alert.
Cringy slope. If you do it right, it's like it's brilliant. And I just
very tricky.
It's very tricky, but I put can you see my screen?
Yep.
I compiled like the best. There's only seven of them that I just found before the show.
I love
but
that.
These are all fan made, like posters to the movies, like different posters. And I was just like blown away that like Jaws has such a huge outpouring of fandom that people take the time to like really create this stuff.
That's awesome. Just, I like that with the beach there. Yeah,
this is kind of like a Star Wars looking poster with the moon.
Oh, right.
Jaws was fantastic.
That one's great.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And the movies that, you know, Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Jaws 4. You know, I love Peter Caine in Jaws 4.
Hoagie.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
The shark is here.
He missed getting the Oscar, receiving his Oscar at the Academy Awards because he was on set, on location, filming Jaws 4.
Nice.
And yeah, like he was committed.
Yeah, I feel like, though, what all of the other movies were missing was Robert Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do you guys visit Jaws for the Revenge ever?
I haven't in a while.
Dude,
I remember watching it with John when I was younger. Every other day.
I think we've seen that one like 100 times. And
Jaws the Revenge, the banana.
Yeah. Because it was like Rocky IV. It was like it was new when we were watching movies, you know, when we started watching movies. So it was like we'd watch it all the time. And it was cool because it was connected to the first one. So that, you know, we already knew the first one. But like when the shark growls or when they like zap him with the flashlight. Like,
Hoagie.
I was
Hoagie.
Pissed.
Hoagie.
Hoagie.
I was pissed.
Hoagie. Yeah. Well, do you remember Jaws 4, The Revenge? The last scene when they kill the shark, they recycled the shark being blown up from the first movie. Not in a flashback. They just threw it in there. You see, like, the clear Bahama waters and the Caribbean waters, and then you see the pieces from the first film with like the murky New England waters and then back to the Bahamas. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
man,
well, they speared it with the bow of the sailboat.
Right. Which is how this
really,
video game is.
Really easy to do. Yeah. And that video game, by the way, was impossible.
I
only beat it last year because you can save it Nintendo Classic and just keep resetting it. It's impossible. Oh. And it's such a anticlimactic letdown. Once you beat it, you're like, oh, I guess I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah.
You're shooting jellyfish with cannonballs. Like, what was going on?
The plane flies over and you're dropping bombs in everything.
I know. It was like a World War II game that they just copied and pasted with Jaws stuff.
It was impossible to win.
Remember the ocean is endless. The diver was like, the boat was this big, and then as soon as you go in the water, the diver's like 3 times the size of the sailboat. You're like, oh, I guess it's really
doing this.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that boat really drifted away.
The Japanese who created this. Yeah, the Japanese who created this game were spot on.
We're spot on. Did you guys watch The Meg 2?
No, I did not see
it. I had it on like in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Because I
perfect
like
movie to have on in the background.
You know, I like, yeah, like I like monster, any, like I like anything like that. Like I'll watch it. I'm not going to like, you know, spend money or like ask Heather to watch it with me, but like I'll definitely see it from start to finish. I like have to. It's like as a Jaws fan from birth, any monster kind of movie that comes out, I need to watch it. Even like Lake Placid and the Planet
Godzilla.
Of the Apes. Godzilla, I can't wait to see the minus one. I still haven't.
Yeah, we saw that over Christmas break. It's really good. Kind of dark.
It's an Oscar. It's nominated for an Oscar. First Godzilla movie.
It's really good
filmmaking.
Wow. Well, the reason I brought up the Meg 2 and the Meg, I think the Meg is a fun movie. The Meg 2 is not as good, but it's up there. But they're in the same vein as Deep Blue Sea, where they don't take it seriously, and they know it's like a gimmick.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But it's still fun. Like Jason Statham is still like
I've
it still works
Deep Blue
as a good action movie too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
the shark comes out of the water
like,
and bites
fun.
The guy's arm off.
Like I don't think the Meg 2 should be up for a Razzie Award because it knows going in that it's cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. And they amped it up. They're like, yo, we did a huge Meg in the first one. What do we do in the second one? Let's do like 3 Megs and then have like they threw in prehistoric creatures and they kind of made fun of the fact they were doing like Jurassic Park kind of sound effects in there with like the water rippling. Like they did like a thing of like a spoof kind of that. So it kind of made fun of itself. And I think it, you know, it works. It doesn't, and it's got a big budget. Like it looks good. So it was fun.
I mean,
it's good.
I remember seeing The Blob.
And
being like, I just like a creature that's just eating everything in its path.
Yeah.
I don't care what it looks like.
The Blob with Kevin Dillon?
I guess, dude. I was
like
so
the 80s
young.
One, right?
Maybe. It ends with like the Blob coming back to life after they think they froze it.
Yeah. That's the 80s thing with Johnny Drama.
Dun, 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 Johnny Drama.
You know what I showed my kids yesterday? which, you know, like Ace Ventura Pet Detective, that's a little bit more edgy. There's a little bit more shit going on there for
adults. Would you like me to take your pants off?
Yeah.
Gee, let
it's
me.
A classic.
Ace Ventura When Nature Calls is a little, actually more kid friendly. And my son was like dying.
It is.
Watching.
It is.
Ace Ventura, When Nature
it's
Calls.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love comes, When Nature Calls.
When they, they were dying when he came out of the back of the rhinoceros.
That was good. That was a great, that was like the best period in time for slapstick comedy. Jim Carrey was doing like three movies a year. Remember, it was like The Mask, Ace Ventura, then like
Dumb and Dumber, and then
that was thrown in there. And then like Liar Liar, and then he was like doing a Batman movie. And then you're like, the guy's doing like five movies a year. It was fantastic. Was like,
I heard someone compare Jim Carrey's rise to Eddie Murphy's. It was like stand up, sketch comedy, biggest star in the world. And then kind of like
immediately,
never mind.
Yeah,
and then right.
Kind of like plateaus.
Because Eddie Murphy, you know, they're doing the new Beverly Hills Cop comes out in June, and he like refused to do one. Like they've asked him to do a fourth one for a while. But I think because he hasn't done a good movie in like 20 years, what else can he do? So he's like, yeah, let's do another one. And they got like Kevin Bacon and, you know, Balky from Perfect Strangers is back.
What?
What's his name? Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. They brought everybody back. Paul Reiser. It actually looks pretty
good. The two cops he was with. The second one, I guess I don't remember the first one. Again, it's another one where I've seen two more than the original just because it was new when I was watching movies.
Like Ghostbusters.
Or
is that considered?
That one's kind of like
I've seen two more than one. No.
Ghostbusters is one of the top five movies of all time, the first one.
It's like a classic. Tie for me.
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
And Peck. I am gonna miss you. Bill Murray was just gold in that.
Oh,
dude, everyone is so good in that movie. Like all of them are so good.
You didn't say the magic word. What's the magic word, Dr. Venkman? Please.
Well, I can't show you that.
I can't show you. It is great. It is so good. Have you guys seen John? You're the Jonathan Has Jonathan Hasner channels were all things movies. What was the last film you saw in the theater?
I saw Oscar nominated for Best Picture, American Fiction, starring the great Jeffrey Wright.
Oh.
It's a really cool, clever. You know when a movie is about a writer, it's always unique. It's almost kind of like hard to pitch it to you in an elevator because it kind of like he writes a story about he basically writes a novel like as if the NWA wrote it, you know, because all his intellectual stuff isn't selling. So he just like dumbs down a story in like gangster like lingo and it sells, but he writes it under a pseudonym. And then when he does all the interviews, he uses like a fake name. He like talks like a thug.
Oh, really?
And then he like reluctantly joins this group of judges who these five writers who judge Book of the Year. And throughout the year, his book just keeps gaining popularity and gaining popularity. And no one knows he wrote it because he used a different name. It's really clever. Cool. It's really?
Really
smart. It's really funny. Jeffrey Wright's just fucking awesome. And
yeah,
he plays almost
great.
Like two characters.
He is great. He's great in everything he does too.
Because they're on like the speakerphone with like these producers who want to like make it a movie. And they're like, hello, are we on with his pseudonym is Stag R. Lee. Staggerly. But they're like,
nice.
They're like, are we on with Stag? And he's like, yes, hello, I'm here. You know, like in his normal Jeffrey Wright, like perfect speaking. And his agent's his agent's like, thug it up. Fuck. So he's like, yeah, I'm here. What's up? And she's like, is this a true story? And he's like, what do you think, some white boy bitch wrote that shit? It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Oh, that's so, cool.
That's the only movie I've seen this year, sadly.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
That's like the, I'm sorry, Clark, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I saw something, a little like piece on The Godfather, and you guys are probably already well aware of this, but how when they were filming the first Godfather, they actually, you know, took some things from the actual mob, and the mob was actually following them, and it made the actors very nervous.
Oh, and, really? Like they were following them to make sure they weren't like leaking, leaking secrets or something?
Yeah. Yeah, they would follow them out of the studio every day and back to where they would go to the hotel. And
really?
Finally, they incorporated one of the, I guess he was like the strong hand. I forget his name.
Strong hand.
In the mob. Strong hand. And incorporated.
The dark arm.
Yeah.
The dark arm.
And incorporated him more into the story, and then the mob was fine.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I knew Sinatra had a problem with Johnny Fontaine, the character Johnny Fontaine, because he was supposed to be like how Sinatra became famous because the mob helped him, and he like threatened the guy in an elevator and called him. Well,
The mob was involved in a lot of the music stuff back then too.
Yeah, they were really involved. The mob were like
Tommy Jane and the Shondells.
Yeah, because
that was all mob.
The mob owned like all of Las Vegas before like kind of Howard Hughes started buying hotels and it became corporate. So they could like make or break you. Like if you had a show in Vegas back in the day and were performing, you got like it was kind of like being on Carson in the 80s as a comedian. Then you would get a sitcom like Seinfeld. If you were like big in Vegas, like those show singer guys, not like rock and roll, but, you know, like Shondells and stuff like that. They could like get you music contracts. They had like their long arms into the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. And they took all the money away from you too.
Yeah.
Dark.
Right.
You guys still can't see me.
Cannot see you.
God dang it.
Still can't see
it. It's sad.
I don't know what's going on with the camera.
Because I know you're making animated faces and it's.
Yeah. Right, I really want to see your face, John.
I'm doing a lot
of
see
like, a penis.
Because you are like, I don't know what it is, but it's like you remind me of Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I mean, so much of my DNA was written by Ace Ventura. You know, like it's still in there, and I don't even remember what it is. But I know if I rewatch that movie, I'd be like, I say all these things.
It's a blueprint.
Yeah, I do, and I realize that too. But I don't do it like you do. And my kids loved it. We actually started watching
it.
The original Ace Ventura one. Because I'll never forget, you came over to my grandparents' house. You and Rye came over to my grandparents' house and said, you need to see this movie, Ace Ventura. And I beat the shit out of my parents to allow me to see that movie. And they eventually, you know, gave way.
It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because
I know.
He's not trying to make anyone laugh in the movie. He's just like being weird for like himself. And that's like the greatest thing. It's like he
Who
doesn't
is
care.
That? Who the
if
hell
I
is would that?
Have had my face that. In the toilet, I would have been killed.
Who the hell is that?
You know, you know what's great about Ace Ventura is there was nothing else like that before. Like that
yes.
level, that hybrid of comedy and satire kind of. It came out at just the right time. You know,
and people like kept it trying to
today,
say
it just it, you need
people kept trying to say
time.
He's the next blah blah blah, but and then other people would go, no, there's hasn't been anyone like him before. He's the first Jim Carrey.
Yes,
like he's so different. Like when he's in the bathroom and he jumps over the railing and then crawls down it and then hops back over for no reason.
He jumps over the railing and he doesn't have to. and scoots along the side and then jumps back over the railing to get in the other door.
I remember having to like rewind it. Like the first time I was watching the movie, I was like, hold on a second. he
it's
did
so
that.
Good.
No. It was over. Goes,
oh my gosh.
I was listening to.
He pulls the violin.
Yeah. Sprung as he's walking by.
I was listening to an interview of somebody on a podcast. I'm going to mess this up, but it was either like Adam Sandler or David Spade, but one of them was talking about the other. They were all at a birthday party recently with like Jim Carrey and.
Oh yeah, I saw that picture.
Yeah, right. One of those guys that was there was on some show, but they were talking about, you know, how they like have they known Jim Carrey and Man on, you know, they met him when he was doing Man on the Moon, and that he was in character the whole time. It was Dave Chappelle. That's who it was. He was talking about how Jim Carrey has this level.
Oh my God, it was the funniest
spontaneity. Like when he's on, like there's nothing like it. He's like, I can't even come close to, like, he's in his own perfect, like, universe. It was kind of cool to hear, like, Dave Chappelle's a big name. Hearing him kind of talk about Jim Carrey, like, when he's in his zone, like, you can't touch him.
Dude, that was the first, like, 7 minutes of Chappelle's new stand-up, and it was the funniest
thing. That was it.
Ever heard, because he's like,
that's how I feel about
I can't believe it. I saw this guy, and he could just do things with his body. He was just the funniest person I've ever seen, and I was going to get a chance to meet him, and we're on the set of Man on the Moon, where he's playing Andy Kaufman. And he's in character.
He's in character.
He walks over to me, and he's talking to me as Andy Kaufman. But I'm looking in his eyes, and I'm going, "You're Jim Carrey, though. I want to meet Jim Carrey." And he's like, "And that's how I feel when I talk to trans people."
It was like a good 10 minutes before he crowbars on him. That's funny.
I love that.
He said. I've been watching a lot of videos lately of stand-up comedy and a lot of 9/11 stuff to try to push myself through what I'm going through. And
dude, I've been swimming in a 9/11 hole too.
Yeah, I and it's not like the planes hitting the building or anything. It's the survivors and all that stuff. But the
stories, anyways, that's
how they persevered and were resilient in their own way.
Me too, man.
But Jim Carrey, I came across a video of him when he was doing The Grinch. It was 8 hours for makeup.
Oh, my gosh.
And he came and Ron Howard directed that movie. And he came to Ron Howard like on the second day and was like, "I can't do this. Like, done. I'm done." And Ron Howard hired a former CIA guy.
Oh, right. Like a SEAL or something.
Yeah, like that was tortured and told Jim Carrey like how to get through it. And Jim Carrey said all he would do was smoke cigarettes and listen to the Bee Gees to get through it.
The Bee Gees. That's so funny. 8 hours. Yeah, because
that was the Graham Norton show. You can look it up. It's on the Graham Norton show.
Graham Norton. That movie was what, like 2001? Or something like that.
Yeah,
it was like before, like
01 or 02.
Yeah, like you really had to slep in makeup.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing.
Yeah, and he was done up.
I remember reading in Batman Returns that the Catwoman suit for Michelle Pfeiffer was like so tight she like couldn't breathe. So many times, like it was like miserable for her to get in there, it's because they had the vacuum like seal it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, all that shit is so, like, it's all so fake. It's all so fake and dumb. Yeah. It's
right.
It's not real life stuff.
Right, exactly. Jim, I do like the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Great.
I don't know. It's
I asked for three-fifths. You give me three-fourths. You're fired. Talking to his dog.
You're fired. You're the
No, Grinch. He says, stay focused.
Stay focused. It's good to see you, man. I love the Eagles hat. Let me ask you an Eagles question. Are you like me where when they lost to Tampa Bay, you were like, thank God. It was a mercy kill. Like,
yes.
Okay, because losing that many games.
I wanted them put out of their misery. I didn't want to see any more of this fucking nonsense that we had all season. They need to reset. And I don't know if the right answer is to fire Sirianni or not. They're not going to fire him. They haven't done it by now, so they're not going to do it. They need to change up the all, you know, the OCs, the DCs, and they got some free agents. I think they still have Swift, the running back.
Yeah.
That's going to stay with them for this next season. But obviously, I think they're probably going to lose Kelce, which is the anchor on that offense, who I absolutely love and adore.
Yeah. He's a class act.
He is. And he's just a great guy. Seen him shirtless at the Chiefs.
Oh, I love that. I thought of you.
I thought of you.
When I saw him in there he is. John. He's back.
Yes.
The old turn it off, turn it back on trick.
That happened with me with Skype. I couldn't read my camera or mic. And I was like, oh, this sucks. We're talking about Kelce, though. I was saying when I saw him at the Bills game with his shirt off, I was like, that looks like Bob. I feel like that's something Bob would do. Because it's like 6 degrees
that's what
there.
Bob would do when Bob was still drinking. So
that's what Bob used.
Yeah, but and I love his story, the backstory on that, which his wife was in the suite with him. And she said, if you know, he's already like, you know, partying with the people in Buffalo and, you know, in the parking lot. And
did you see that documentary? I mean to cut you off. The Kelce one. It was pretty. I thought it was pretty good.
I like that. And it actually makes me like Travis Kelce a little bit more, who I didn't really like.
I haven't watched it yet.
You should watch it. You would enjoy that.
Yeah, I think it's on. I mean, I like him.
It's on Prime.
Yeah.
I hated Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Because he would always score 3 touchdowns against us.
Well, not just that, but then he talked like, you know, like, oh, yeah, man. Like, but he's not like that. He really isn't. I listen to their podcast every week. New Heights.
New Heights is good.
Which is good.
The day after they lost, John, we were talking about how we both felt like, thank God they lost to the Bucks. It was like a mercy kill. Like, just put us out of the misery.
Totally a mercy kill. We needed to be put out of our misery. It was done.
That was so bad. But don't you feel like that?
Yeah, we were better than we are when we were.
That podcast they did right after they lost to the Buccaneers. Jason Kelce didn't say whether he was going to retire or not. But then he started choking up and crying. And then his brother's like, hell yeah, brother, it's all right. And you're like, oh man, it was really honest.
Because
that guy's been in the league for 10 years. That's a lot of mileage.
Yeah, I love the brotherly, the conversation going back and forth with both of them and talking about their childhood. And I just think it's really good. It's awesome. And they bring
their
dad on there. And I love Jason Kelce's wife. I'm pretty sure.
She's so like cool. She's like a true Eagles fan, even like before him. She's from Philly. She's like.
And he said, and I think he said to her when he took his shirt off at the Bills game, he's like, "The first night I met you, I was fucking hammered, blacked out. I'm doing it."
And I read in an article that his daughter texted his wife, you know, the mom. And was like, dad's boobs are out on TV or something like that. Look, you know what I don't understand is the Taylor Swift hate. Like,
I don't understand that either.
She's a very likable person. Like, yeah,
she's not bad. She's so positive. And
yeah,
she's attractive. She's positive. And who cares that they show her on TV? I don't give a shit.
She's very talented. She puts on like the best show in the last 10 years. And she's does like good things to people. Yes. Like she takes autographs and she, you know, I get the Brittany Mahomes hate. Like she's a mess, but Taylor Swift, when they're like, Taylor Swift, Brittany Mahomes
hasn't done anything except lay down for Patrick. So,
right. She's not Ariana Grande. Like I don't get the hate.
But Taylor Swift has done so much with her career and so much positive things. And like even Jason Kelce was like, even his drunken stupor was picking up kids who had like, you know, Taylor Swift signs and like bringing them up and like showing them to her. And like, I thought that was that's fucking awesome. I love all of that. All of it.
I mean, when Travis Kelce scored a touchdown and went like, and did like the Taylor Swift, like cheesy heart thing. I was like, this could be like the most historic photograph for humanity or maybe for America. because it's uniting so many people at once.
Yeah.
Football and Taylor Swift fans.
The Swifties are no joke, man. There's like
it's only a good thing.
Like we need this right now. We need this right now with everything that's going on in politics and the world and like we need
all of it.
And we don't need to shit on this. So let's embrace it and be happy about it.
Yeah. What are your predictions for next week? Would you guys be happy to see Detroit go to the Super Bowl for the first time ever?
Yes.
That would be cool, right?
I want them to beat San Francisco. I hate San Francisco.
Yeah.
Those whiny pieces of shit that whined last year that we knocked out Purdy.
And they always get – they're the team that always has the fights in the parking lot. I'm like, yo, are you really San Francisco? Like,
right. What's going Shouldn't on? Shouldn't he be like peace?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be like Oakland 49ers? The Baltimore 49ers.
And you know,
I love the Niners. They're my second favorite team as always. But yeah, I'm totally rooting for the Lions.
I love Dan Campbell.
Goff.
I love their coach. I love him.
Yeah, I think he's just so handsome.
He is like the spirit of football. Like when I listen to that guy talk, I think of playing football and running through a wall for him.
What's his name?
Dan Campbell.
Is he like a younger dude?
He's probably like our age.
Yeah, he's like mid-40s.
But he is like huge.
White,
like
strapping guy. Like, that's like
the only thing he hasn't done yet is like eat the microphone at a press conference. Yeah. So,
did you see his scream after they beat Tampa Bay? He gave like he was getting in an elevator and he just like lit up. You know the Lions, Detroit Lions have beat.
He's a former tight end. I mean, he played in the league. He played football. He played professional football. So he knows.
And he was all choked up after the win. And it was like, it was pretty good. What's that?
Tight end's a peculiar position. It's like the center almost. Like they have to be aware of what everyone's doing in like a different way than everybody else.
You have to be the quarterback. Basically.
Yeah, John, you were like tight end, right? When we played on the Romans?
Yeah, and like even though I did a lot of blocking, I did a lot of passing and blocking for the running back who went on a route who I had to follow. You know, so like the tight end is like this like roaming chess piece.
Yes.
How much did you get paid on the Romans? Because I never got a paycheck, and I thought I was
75 a year. 75 million a year. Standard rookie deal. I was like, I don't do number jokes. I'm so bad with numbers.
I don't, 75 million a year.
They all just smash into each other.
Like the seven, Detroit.
10-2.
The Detroit that, thing is exciting. No, I was just going to say, it's exciting that they've never made it this far in
history. No, I love it. I love it. It's a blue collar, lunch-tail team. Fun. It reminds me of the Eagles, reminds me of the type of fans that we have.
Yeah. So yeah.
I like
blue collar town.
So, yeah.
Did you guys watch the Barry Sanders doc?
I have not yet.
Bye-bye, Barry. And I didn't realize as a kid, I actually saw him play once when my dad lived in Windsor, which is like outside of Detroit. And we did go to a 49ers-Lions game in 93, and they got killed. Like, it was like 56-10 or something. And saw Barry Sanders and, like, loved him as a kid, like Tecmo. And I never realized until I watched the doc that how he left. Like he just got up and was like, I'm done. Like went to London and everything. Like it was crazy.
I remember though, because Tiki Barber kind of like followed suit. Like he could have played for a while longer. And he was like, nah, I'll just keep my body and do TV and my brain. And you can see Barry Sanders on the sidelines. It's like, he's fine. Like he's okay. Like, good job. Like you did leave before maybe something horrible happened.
He's not
because those guys on this team. Remember, there was like two guys that got really badly hurt. The one guy
got paralyzed. I think
got paralyzed. Yeah.
Oh right, that's what like scared him because I still had like 15 minutes left in the doc, but I remembered everything. I remembered everything. Like it was sad, but like when it happened, I was like at the age where I was like. Yeah, dude, just hang it up. That team sucks. They're never gonna win for you.
Right. Yeah.
Stop getting your ass crushed.
You know what I loved about that doc?
In front of you to help you out either.
Yeah. Right.
Right. You know what was cool about that doc? Yeah, that unlike other docs, is they had famous Detroit Lions fans in there that weren't affiliated anyway with football, but they were just interesting, like Jeff Daniels, Tim Allen, Eminem. You're just like, oh, this is great. Like Jeff Daniels has like guitars in the back. He's like, I'm a fucking Lions fan. You're like, this is what I want to see. You know, and they also showed like former players, but I felt like it was the right balance of like, it was like a good scope of the whole thing.
I love that. Yeah. I love that in any sports documentary where you spread all that stuff in and, you know, bring the fans in and, yeah. And they are basically the Eagles who haven't won anything. So,
yeah. Good call. I mean, I think the last, they said the last time they went to the playoffs was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's something stupid. So, and I love Dan Campbell. Love their coach. Love
Sanders' rookie year.
Yeah, I'm pulling for them against the 49ers. Fuck the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to wear my Steve Young jersey regardless.
Nice.
you know, I wear it every Super Bowl unless the Eagles are in it, which is a weird thing. They've been in it like four times in my lifetime. Three?
Yeah, that's
three,
crazy.
Three, I think, John.
Four. I keep forgetting. We beat the Patriots.
Yeah, the Chargers.
Chargers, Patriots twice, and then
I had a 49ers.
Who was the other one? Who was the fourth one?
I had a 49ers jacket growing up because of you, John. Because I told my parents, like, I want a 49ers
jacket. Oh, really?
Yeah, because John Hassinger has a shirt. So I want a 49ers jacket.
The starter's jacket
one too.
And I had that silver, like that gold one that was awesome.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. That one was amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Danny Tanner.
Yeah. And the Danny Tanner.
I remember John had the jersey.
So good.
And like John, you could rock the jersey like as a 12-year-old. Like it looked like you could pull it off. Dude, and I got like the Warren Moon jersey, and like I couldn't pull it off. It looked like a nightgown. Yeah, and I was like, dude, the one too big, Mom.
The one that I got was like, I swear, I think my parents bought it by accident because it was so well made. It was like the one that Steve Young,
yes,
like,
it was like the
didn't
actual
even wear.
Soft material that fits over like pads.
And I got it in like 93. I was like 12, so it was like a nightgown, but now it fits almost like a shirt. It's like
it's the same one.
I love that you still
have
it.
It's the same one, dude.
Jesus Christ, John. I didn't know that.
It's like the only jersey.
And it's probably in good shape.
Oh, my God.
It's probably in good shape.
The numbers are sewn on. It was like over $200, guaranteed, back then. Back then,
yeah,
like the early 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure you know this, Clark, but the Hassinger brothers were prolific in their football skills, and they were really good at football. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, John and Rye played the game well, and John knows the game, and, you know, yeah. So
I played on a team with John. He was the only kid I saw at that age that was like scoring touchdowns. I'm like, oh, he actually can run across the field.
If John didn't,
because right, me and Judge were like
so early on, I think there could have been, you know, some bigger things there. So
yeah, the quarterback was Joe Judge, who ended up coaching the Giants and Patriots. Yep.
Right,
was like,
and we were like
passes to John, and I'm like, oh,
we would throw like 8,000 passes to each other a day in the summer because we didn't have school. So that was all we would do.
Oh, just really?
Pass.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool.
We were in 7th, 8th grade, and then 8th grade, Tommy, crunch.
Yeah, because when John and I lived in South Florida together, we'd go out and throw the football around, and John would throw it to me, and I'm just like, oh, shit. Jesus Christ. There, you can tell this is a different level.
I hated it. I'm sweating. I'm not drunk anymore. I'm done.
No. Shut up, John. It was a different level than, you know, I played with on offense, at least. So John is a pretty spectacular athlete. And
oh, hell yeah.
Dude, and Rye is like twice, you know, my brother is so much better than me.
Yeah.
Like,
just don't
Rye
tell him.
Was like,
don't tell him that.
You know, Rye was like travel team soccer when he was like almost too young to be like legally allowed to be on it. So it's like, God, you're that athletic. Damn it.
Jesus,
already?
Yeah.
I remember
my youngest
Ryan,
brother. was the quarterback of our high school football team. Like, he was that good.
Your
and he
kid,
sat
your
the
brother was
season
crazy.
Out because he broke his leg.
Shit. I remember Ryan, how competitive he was. Like, I would used to sleep over John's house and stuff as a kid. And we were playing, like, Tecmo one night. And Ryan was, like, really into it. And he was on the right side of the screen, which is, like, the shitty side. And yeah. he still, like, kicked my ass. And I was like, damn. You know, you take it personally at, like, a kid. You're just like, what the fuck? Are you looking at my controller? And he's like, nah. He's just
Ryan
into
is also
it,
good at – Ryan can fart on command.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I haven't
you can tell
a
him,
fart once.
I
want to
see
boat.
A fart. And he will,
I didn't know that.
He will lean back Ooh. And rip his ass.
Gives me the willies just thinking
it's
of
a, I'm sure he would appreciate talent. Me telling you everyone that.
That's a talent.
Oh, he knows. This is a talent.
Yeah.
He – Ryan was – he was just so fast. And you know what he would do? He would do the Larry Bird thing. He would, like, practice more than everybody. That's so weird. Nice. It's like when you do practice, you do get kind of better.
Yeah, when you're already that good and then you practice.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I just didn't care. And he was so competitive, which made me like, well, if we're going to survive, he can be the athlete.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I'm not going to smash brains with this guy. I'll just be funnier than him.
I did was just lift weights in my basement, and I definitely knew I was never near the talent of you and Rye in football. I could run fast and hit hard, which gets you by in high school football. That's it. And that's why I knocked myself out of high school football eventually.
It's so funny because if I was going over the middle to catch a pass and Bob was in the backfield, and as soon as I catch the ball, he hit me. I know ribs would break. The ball would go flying. And it wouldn't even have to be like raining. So
my last play.
You would just have to.
I would your not want. Play. I would dry. I would like do Ricky Waters. I'd be like, ah, I didn't see it.
So what?
No way.
Oh my gosh.
Like my
rib last day. Play in high school football was I knocked out the Cheltenham quarterback.
Oh, the lurcher.
On the sidelines. Like and his helmet was knocked up. And I broke his
the
neck.
Lurcher.
And we were both knocked out. And that was the last play of football I ever played.
Was Cheltenham a tough school? Because it's kind of down in the hood.
They were tricky. They weren't tough. They were tricky.
Like Trenton?
I would say that.
Oh, like the Trenton Tornadoes?
Yeah, they were tricky.
Like you're the minority?
Like
vicious beast.
Like, I think Hatboro or Souderton was tougher because they had just bigger guys, but you could push them around. So, like, I remember coming off the line, and that's when they still had the, God, what the hell is it called? When the slot back comes and just smashes the fucking receiver, the crash back, or whatever the hell it's called. It's illegal now. I forget what it's called, but it's illegal now because it is a violent play. And we could push those guys around and have our way, even though we were a little bit smaller, even though we were known as, you know, a bunch of big white guys from Methacton. So
yeah, Trenton was like they had children watching them play us in sixth grade.
Yeah, that was wild. That was a scrimmage game before any other game to like toughen us up. And
yeah,
was,
every game
Trenton
after that
tornadoes
was a cakewalk.
I was like really afraid. Like at 12, I'm like, what are we doing here?
And I remember that game. We went to McDonald's on the ride to Trenton, New Jersey, back in the early 90s. And we got like a 20-piece nugget. And we ate them all before the
Let's
game.
Let's load up on carbs.
Two minutes into the game, I was like, Coach. I was like, Joe, I'm like, my knee is broken.
Yeah, my knee hurts.
Yeah, I'm gonna shit.
I was like, I have to go take a shit, actually.
That was the worst part too. Before the games, I always had to take a shit. When they said like after warm-ups, when you come back in with like 10
right,
minutes
when you
to
do
go,
the last like, lace.
I got to take a dump. And,
immediately.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get my shoulder pads off. Do that because you don't fit in the stalls very well.
Oh God! Right, and then all your pads are still like
and then
jammed in
your
like
pants. There's like four fucking offensive linemen taking a shit in the stalls, so you're sitting on a long toilet.
I, oh, Especially, just, how do you wipe?
Yeah.
You don't. Exactly. You don't. You just have to go with it.
No.
Hope you're not wearing the away uniform wipe.
You're a human being anyway. You're going to be disgusting out on the field, so who cares?
True.
I used to carpool with Matt Stericker to practice, and I was never his friend. Like, the family's really nice, and my parents and their parents were like friends, but him, like, he never really liked me.
Married to Natalie Williamson, brother of the boy who broke my knee.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, keep going. Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say it was awkward car ride, and you know, his mom would be like very polite, making conversation, and he would just be like, have the scowl, and I'd be like, I think my mom can drive me next time. Don't be silly. I'm like, I hate this. It was so awkward.
What was the worst thing you guys ever did, like in a sporting game, like on the football field? I can tell you.
And it's like on the camera.
Worst, like, sportsmanship thing you ever did. Like,
Mr. Hassinger, I think, has a video of this. We were playing the home field, which is next to the prison, Bucks County Prison.
Okay.
And, I was like a wild 12-year-old kid that was like out of control. And I remember talking shit to like the kid on the other team. And I was like, your mom gave me a blowjob, and he kneed me like in the nuts, you know? So I was like, all right. Yeah, so the next play, I just started kicking him with my cleats in the nuts like 4 or 5 times. And the next play, he came up and he was like crying, like streaming. Like, I didn't care if I was going to get ejected. I was just like, you know what? You really pissed me off, and I'm out of control. So I'm just going to hurt you. And I remember doing that, and like, I felt bad afterwards, but I was like, he's okay.
Well, he probably deserved it anyway.
But that was it. Yeah, I was just
he's
like,
probably right now in that Bucks County prison. So
yeah, he probably doesn't have kids. I killed the sperm count for sure. But there was I remember, like, John, your dad had a video of that, because he like filmed the games. Or
I remember. It was like during a good play, it happened.
Yeah, I like just
somebody
like,
makes a good long run, and the camera pans over. Hour,
it's fun.
And you, like,
what about you guys?
You're holding the kid by his shoulder pads, and you like knee him in the groin like 2 or 3 times.
So he couldn't. And the kid's like, defend himself.
In the next play, he was crying. It was like, oh, terrible.
He was like screaming at his coach on the sidelines like this. Like, you can't hear him in the video, but you can see him just like this.
He shouldn't have kneed me, though. You know, like, he started, well, by kneeing me. It's not like I just did it. Like,
his mom didn't really give him a job. That was just a joke.
You taught him a lesson there, Clark. I think you taught him a lesson that his parents weren't probably teaching. So.
And I probably learned one, too. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it went both
I remember.
Ways. It's all good.
I remember this kid who I had such a weird history with from like real young. Him and I just never got along, and it came to a head in this Lenape Valley basketball game, where I just decided to blanket him. Like on defense, I just would like never let him get the ball. Like, even if he didn't have the ball, I would like defend him as if like he had the ball. Like, I was all over him 24/7. Like, I was like, my ADD was like skyrocketing. I think I was like in ninth grade at that point.
And you were just
I hadn't drank or smoked or done anything yet. I was like just insane amount of energy. And he just kept fouling me to try and get away to get the ball. He would push me, and I'd fly to the ground. And I eventually got him 2 technicals and thrown out of the game.
Oh, nice. Wait, you turned up the theatrics? Like, when you push it, you, like, pretended to fall down? Like,
I remember, like, Rodman used to do it. Like, I would watch every single game that Rodman – was televised.
You were a big Rodman fan.
And I would only watch him. Like, every game, I would just watch what he would do for the most part. And sometimes he would just stand in front of Karl Malone and just stand in front of him and, like, just put his hands. And Karl Malone didn't even have the ball yet. And Stockton was, like, trying to get it to him. And Rodman and Malone would try to get away, and he would push Rodman to get away from him. And Rodman would go flying. And they would call an offensive foul, and the Bulls would get the ball. And I always remember being
genius.
Like, I'm going to do that to somebody one day. And I did it to Chris.
I was.
Chris Petro, I think, is his name.
Oh,
he's got like a big
kid.
Family. Yeah.
Joanne Petro is his sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Yeah.
That's funny.
I think he, I don't know what I was thinking. He took the ball and slammed it on the ground, on the floor, and it bounced flying up in the air, and it came down like into the Unami stands, and that was his first technical. His second technical, he just like screamed profanity at me after another foul was called on him.
Yeah, you got it in your skin.
I'm gonna kill you. And I was like, I don't know why I was like, you're not gonna do shit. And
yeah, you're not gonna do
and
shit.
And he didn't. No, but,
you showed him. That's funny. That was
second technical. Ugh. Out of there.
That's good.
That's good. Awesome.
That's really good.
So, what about you, Bob? What was your
I did it to Justin Driesbach again once, the same kind of thing in another game. I think you guys
I
know
these last names. I think like there's cousins that played with me that I
I know who that is.
Maybe them
knew who it was. the Dennis Rodman, the defense. It's awesome.
Dude, it's John, like, but you played a mind game. You played a mind game.
Yeah, I would like talk. Yeah, I would pull their shirts. I would like tug on their shirt. You know, like everything Rodman does to like just take people out.
Ryan did that to me. Lenape Valley baseball. He was catching on some team we were playing. I was on the A's.
The Pirates, because the Pirates were the best Lenape Valley baseball team
ever. I think
it
was the Pirates. But he was catching and I was up the bat and he'd be like,
Jack
swing,
Parkman.
Swing. And like my first at bat, like he got me.
I'm gonna name this next pitch if I hit it.
Yeah, he got like under my in my psyche, and I was like, I eventually like just tuned him out, like ADHD kicked in, and I was like, I can tune out anything.
Yeah,
you're like, well, but like Ryan, the first time like around, I was like, George Carlin. he's playing the mind games.
Right. At first, it's like, oh, it's silly that he's even doing it, but then it's like, okay, well, what is your material?
Then if you're smart enough,
is it actually any good?
Mine was not that smart. I basically we were playing Norristown. I don't know if you guys ever got to play them.
Basketball,
football.
No, but I mean, we played them in basketball.
Okay, and they're shitbags.
Kennedy,
shitbags across the board, and their quarterback had fumbled the football.
Yeah,
white trash.
And I had hit him.
Tornado bait.
I actually made the play. One of the few great plays I made in high school football. I hit him. He fumbled the ball. We were both crawling to get to it, and I grabbed both of his thumbs and broke them.
Oh, like, the assault!
Like literally grabbed
the crime. Nom? The crime. That's wild.
That's like war.
It
moves.
Was a crime.
Wait.
Because
what,
the whole game, I'm sitting there. He's talking to me across the line, like, "Yeah, okay, 21. Yeah, you want this? You want some of this?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it eventually. Man. And you're gonna get fucked up." And
Ray Lewis,
he got fucked up.
He asked for it.
That's
but,
crazy.
Yeah, and I'll never forget after I grabbed his thumbs and ripped them out like this. He ran back to the sidelines, and his thumbs were like dangling.
Oh, Thumbelina!
Because I pulled them back hard. I was so sick of his shit.
Thumb thumping.
I just like got so fucking angry. It was like the Terminator, like when he sees like a target and it turns red, and
Tom Thumb. That's crazy. The green thumb. So, oh, you're the green thumb, Bob.
Nice, John has the nice story where
the red thumb.
He totally mentally fucks somebody up, and I'm just the physical retard. So
that's insane.
Yeah, but I did something like that too. Like, well. No, but dude, like in basketball, I was always like dirty. Like I was, it wasn't just Chris Petro. I just really knew I could get him in trouble because he was just such an asshole.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
I was like,
you
I can rile him up. I can ruin him. I can take him out of this game and we can win because he was good.
Was he good?
Yeah, he's so fucking strong. It was like impossible to stop him. So you just I just had to like sacrifice myself.
Was he a big dude? I remember what he looked like. I just don't remember if he was like
He was just tough.
He was like scrappy.
Did not like to, really small. You did not want to tussle with him like without a referee around.
Oh, okay.
You know, I would never fight him on the streets.
On the street, you'd never fight him with your 38 in the alleyways.
I would never take him.
Let me switch gears for a second, if I may. I've been reading a book on Napoleon Bonaparte.
Hey, Boner. Can we hold on one more thing?
Oh,
what
please.
Is there like an agreed upon like best fan art or like most famous or like most known? Like the one that I always think of whenever I just hear the word fan art is when Boss Logic did Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. Like 10 years ago, and now it's like real. Now she's, you know, playing it on in Star Wars. Yeah. You know, the orange and the white things, and it was like her face, and it was like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. As a Star Wars character.
Okay.
Like, that's like a cartoon.
When you said fan art, I'm thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles, like the picture that one guy painted of like all the Eagles from like Chuck Bednarik all the way over.
That's fan art, right?
But
That counts.
I'm just going to warn you guys. I'm not going to be able to contribute much to this conversation.
No, that was just like movie. I was just like thinking.
Oh,
like
you're right, John.
Thing because that was fan art that like actually happened. You know, like this cartoon character realized as a live action character with Rosario Dawson's face on it, like, oh, if they actually did this, this is who would play it. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
And then they did it and it happened. And
art imitates,
you know,
life.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Or
I think
that's pretty cool. That's really
one instance that comes out that I think of like immediately is when Weezer covered Africa by Toto, which Toto's Africa is like in my top five. It's just like such a great song.
Yeah.
Somebody said like, when is Weezer going to bless the rains? And so some fan of Weezer was like, you should cover Africa. And finally they created like a Twitter account and it got like all these followers. And then Weezer actually was like, okay, let's do it. And their version was like, fine. It wasn't the original, obviously, but it was one of those.
I think they did a really good job though.
Yeah. They did a good job. And they were like,
Weezer's great.
It just started off with a fan saying, like, you know, like a big Weezer fan, you should cover Africa. And they did. And it was like, that's kind of cool to be, you know, have like your favorite band cover something snowball into that. Five Nights at Freddy's, there was a lot of fan art from the computer game that they incorporated into the movie, which I know that's different than.
Jeez.
But it was cool. It was kind of cool to see that.
Did you watch Five Nights at Freddy's?
I did.
I still haven't. I want to, but I'm like,
it's just okay.
What is it for? Is it for the weird animatronic characters? Like, are they creepy and like neat?
See, if that were the movie, I'm not going to give anything away. If the movie were the animatronic characters, that's the movie. That's cool. That's fun. That's scary. But there are so many layers in that are just so bad that you're like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Yeah.
Okay,
if it were just the freaky animatronics, because the animatronics are scary in that, like you're
that's
alone.
That's what I like.
Yeah, that's what you want to see.
Well, that's because all the Godzilla. John, that's what you had at Chuck E. Cheese when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
No, that's what we had. Animatronic band.
You know? Like, yeah, it's like little, a Bears Jamboree.
Little great band. Little band thing, and then like the drummer would like, you know, conk out like halfway through.
Yeah, like right. They'd get stuck in some perverted position, like just the record skipping, and they're
hey kids, you want to see this?
You want to see this?
My furry dick.
My furry dick. Let's go. Come in the back.
What else did you have on that thing, Clark?
What's that?
What else did you have? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Napoleon. Go on.
Oh, I wanted to ask you guys, because John and Bob, you're probably the only two friends of mine that are equipped to answer this. But I've been reading a lot of Napoleon because I just rewatched the movie and my wife got me a book on him.
I just watched it yesterday.
What did you think of it?
Hated
it, right?
No, I didn't hate it.
Sucked.
I didn't hate it, but I was like, they should have named it like Napoleon and whatever name. Yeah, right. It was.
I said the same thing. It's a love story. It's not about the guy.
His tactical genius that was skimmed over.
Right.
It's about he fucking just wanted to show off for her.
Yeah.
Just like every great man.
I can't add anything to that. That's perfect. Well, the thing that's great about him is there's so much material is you could do like 100 movies on him.
And right.
I mean, I was reading something today in the book. They were saying how even if he wasn't, and this blew my mind, even if he never won a battle, he would still be talked about today because the Napoleonic Code and there's so many like systems of metrics that are used in Europe today that he created that are still being used that he was like a genius on his own level. You only associate him with the military, as do I, as does everyone. But he did like
that
so
makes
many
sense.
Things.
You would have to be some sort of like scientific or mathematical whiz to be able to battle and be that efficient, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He did things with because he was the emperor, so he.
I know.
He put laws in place that like the theta should follow, and those are like still used today. So like a lot of the performing art things. Like he put into place. So he had such like an impact that it's like crazy.
The way like, and I only look at it from a military side, shocker.
Yeah. As you should, like it's
all I wanted to see.
Because I just finished, reading this.
Fine.
So.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, and if you guys ever, want to watch some funny comedy, put on Shane Gillis.
Oh,
George Washington. Yeah. We're gonna cross the Delaware and kill those motherfuckers.
The Hessians.
Yeah, but anyway, I thought I agree with you guys. The movie was a little bit too much wrapped up into him and whatever the hell his first wife was.
Josephine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the cinematography in the battle scenes was excellent. I
agree 100%. I don't think I've never seen a movie like that.
Yeah.
With that kind of
The only thing that comes close to that is like Gladiator.
The first opening shot where his horse gets like blasted open, like in the chest.
I was like, the whole chest is blown open.
and the fact that the horse didn't fall back and just smash him to bits. Is kind of like a miracle. And he must have gotten up and been crazy.
I don't know much about Napoleon, but I went and read a little bit. Hey, don't chew my desk.
You got a date tonight.
Yeah, I do. I have a date. She's 40 pounds and she's a pain in the ass. And she just shit on the floor.
40 pounds.
Siberian.
Yeah. He like led that first charge into that. I don't even know the names or anything, but he led that and went in himself. And he did
that first battle.
Yeah. That first battle scene that you see, he organized that and led it and then went in. Like wasn't just sitting back and looking back at it. Like,
right. When like sitting in a tent while the soldiers died.
Yeah.
He it was like, get out of my way, bitch.
Yeah. Face palming people.
But it's like I forget who directed it, but I know he's good. And to use Joaquin Phoenix, it's like I would have rather watched him like break down like where they're going to stand. And he like way more into that like war part of it than the love story.
Yeah.
Using Joaquin Phoenix, the great actor. Instead
of focusing on Josephine, focusing on the war. The war part, absolutely, because that's what made the Civil War in our country. That's the tactics they
used. Oh, right.
They moved everything from Napoleonic tactics over to what we do, and we still use it today. Like where he does like the square thing with the horses to fight off the cavalry when a cavalry charge happens. Remember that scene?
Mm-hmm.
He did that. Normally, that's a defense mechanism. He utilized that as an attack mechanism.
It's amazing.
Would break those guys
still out. Like study that.
Yeah. and they still study it, and it's still studied at West Point today.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, how those tactics are still used for like modern day combat, like Napoleonic tactics.
Yeah,
like still apply.
While you mentioned the Civil War, I know my room just got dark.
It's nice and sexy.
In Gettysburg, I was listening to Shane Gillis, Bob, talk about this moment in Gettysburg where someone's formation was in the shape of a J, a hook.
Yeah, that was a Confederate formation.
So the Confederates were standing like a J.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Up on a ridge about a half a mile away from where the Union forces were.
Long street, long dick.
And did like the Union get like trapped? Like, how did that shape of a J, how was that like effective?
Because they could, with the J shape, they could be more efficient with the their forces in that kind of shape, because you have a combined source of forces right there, and you could push one line out.
Oh my gosh!
And you still have another line, then come back out after that, and you have all the resources, and you put that in the most vulnerable part of your line. So when you get attacked, you can push one line out, and then push another line out and crush them.
Okay.
But
Bob knows. That's interesting, man. That they
didn't work. I love that.
Anticipated
also,
that.
Also, too, it wasn't so much a creation of what they wanted to do. It was more of a creation of what the Union Army did to them. And the Union Army dug in to the mountaintops over top of Gettysburg. And that's what Clark alluded to there.
Is that where Jeff Daniels was in the mountaintops in the movie?
Yes, the Round Top. Yep.
Bayonets!
And what we movie? Dug in. We dug in.
Glory?
On the mountaintops.
Gettysburg.
Oh, Gettysburg.
And General Longstreet, who was the second general in command of the rebel army, told Lee, basically, like, we don't have the high ground here. And they were actually positioned between the Union Army and Washington, D.C. He's like, Let's just go attack Washington, or at least retreat back there and make them fight us on our ground, because they fucked up the ground.
It makes sense.
In the first 2 days of battle.
Right.
Bob, is that why Lee was so adamant about staying in Gettysburg and was kind of stubborn?
Bayonets!
Because he knew, like, he was trying to, save face? Like, why didn't they retreat and
He was very confident Backy. After Chancellorsburg.
Chancellorsville, they were steamrolling him.
Where he was literally probably 35 minutes from crushing the Union Army.
Yeah.
And for good?
Daylight, for good. It would have been it. Win the whole war.
We would have had some... I can't make that joke. If that tide would turn, someone else would be cutting a lawn today and it wouldn't be Bob.
Would we have the rebel flag? Would that be our flag, or would it still be this one?
I don't know. It's a good question.
What if Gettysburg, question. God forbid, what if the Union lost Gettysburg? Would they have lost the war?
They wouldn't have lost the war. It would have been a protracted conflict that would have then pushed out more towards the west, probably. And we would have been two countries, like east and west.
Oh, damn.
That's what would have happened. Wow. And Lee was... incredibly
bayonets
insightful when he surrendered his army to Grant at Appomattox in April of 1865. He could have taken his army and put them in the Appalachian Mountains and just had them conduct guerrilla
warfare like Hitler tried to do at the end of the war.
You know, Hamas and they were like,
we're not doing this.
Yeah, Hamas and Israel, you know, same thing.
Yeah, I remember Hitler and Band of Brothers were like,
yeah.
Well, Hitler was going to put him in the Alps and be like, just do guerrilla warfare. And his generals and stuff were like,
yeah,
well, we lost the war. It's over.
It's winter time, though.
Yeah, like we're not
cold, winter, like forever.
Winter has come.
Winter.
Yeah, right.
So, Bob, Russia the Appomattox Courthouse, Lee knew, like, you know, the jig's up. Like, we're done.
Yeah, we're toast. Yeah, and the terms that Grant presented to him were very favorable to the South as well, saying that you can have your horses, your guns, and just go back and live your
rebuild.
Life. Yeah.
And that's where the Reconstruction period started.
Yeah, but unfortunately, then it was 2 days later.
Bang.
Abraham Lincoln gets assassinated, and Andrew Johnson becomes our president. And he was not
a Dixocrat.
He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And Grant actually.
Now hold on there, darkies. Not so fast.
It reminds me of the Django. The Django scene where it's like, I can't see shit out of this. Like,
now you just not that's not gonna pay me. No, never mind.
Like, free is a loose tongue. To blame anybody about
loose
the hoods.
Tongues.
We don't need to blame anybody. Ships. But next time, we do it better.
We do. Now just hold on, Buford Buchanan.
There's some red tape that we must. Skip over before you can all go run free willy nilly about the country.
Yeah.
Have you boys seen the movie All the Way with Bryan Cranston playing Lyndon Johnson? It's like maybe 10 years old, but the Dixiecrats are in there in the 60s. And they, like Bob said, they were real pieces of shit. The South used to be like ruthless Democrats, even up to like 50 years ago. It was crazy. Yeah.
It's not the same Democratic Party as today, and it's not fair to even compare them to that.
They wanted to be like Europe.
It's
Yeah,
they wanted the.
We were like, no, fuck, we're
no,
different.
It was. By that time, it was 90 years of subjugation of the black population in the South. So you know they were empowered. They had everything behind them, and Grant. Actually, before he even became president, during Andrew Johnson's presidency, when he was still in the Union Army, was trying to put that down with the voting and all that stuff, because they wouldn't even allow, you know, blacks to vote. So Grant would have to drive his army in there and be like, yeah.
Oh, really? Like he had to enforce?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
And was Grant the guy who was friends with Booker T?
Sojourner Truth.
But you know who else was a big I'm starting to read a book on that is Longstreet.
Oh, nice.
Second in command, Confederate general.
Apparently he was like one of the most gifted generals like in history.
Yes, and he became an advocate for Union rights in the South with black voting and things like that.
Yeah, he was a statesman after the war. Yeah, like
they hated him.
They hated him. Yeah, he lived until if I'm not mistaken, he lived until like the 1900s, like maybe 1910
I think he died
or something.
Like 1909 or something. 19.
Yeah,
and
like he hung most of those from what I understand, a lot of those generals they like just went away.
He was a pallbearer at General Grant's funeral in 1876.
That's amazing. And he was played by. Who was he playing Gettysburg?
In Gettysburg. Oh,
Gettysburg.
Yeah. Oh, this
the
is
guy from Platoon.
This is gonna ruin me now.
But he's
look
at
he's
up. Like one this of the best. He's my favorite character in the movie. Tom Berenger.
Yes, Tom Berenger, and he's telling Lee to. We don't have the high ground here at Gettysburg. Let's go back and. Try to fight them on some other land closer to DC.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's awesome. You're reading that book, man. You got to let me know how it is. I'm gonna pick that up after this Napoleon one.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's a little. It might be. You know what I don't like is some of these history books I read are slanted. You know, in terms of today's
They're sympathizers.
Yeah, like not even like sympathizers, but it's just woke. Like, you know, you're not.
Is it woke?
Yeah.
It's inclusive.
I don't know about that.
It has an agenda.
Is it gender neutral?
Yeah.
Gender fluid.
It's actually transgender.
Is it gender fluid?
But what I don't like about these history books, there we go, is that they're framed in the time that they're written in, which is right now. And that's why I love buying older books and seeing them for their time.
And unbiased.
Them totally unbiased. And you just get, you know.
Bob, I just read a book, or I didn't read it. I listened to the audiobook on the Libby app. The movie The Pacific that Tom Hanks and Spielberg produced, you know, the sequel to Band of Brothers.
Excellent series.
Something for My Helmet, pillow, A Helmet for My Pillow. And it was written in the 50s by the guy that was actually in the war.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, excellent series. And it was,
that's what you need to read. That's what you need to focus on. Like, yeah, not the shit that comes out now. Like, I'll still read the shit that comes out now, but I do it within, you know, understanding that refracted lens. So,
right. Yeah, good. I couldn't agree more.
So, what series are you talking about?
The Pacific on HBO.
Oh, The Pacific. It came out, I want to say it was like 2010. Oh, dude,
it came out like 2010. Yeah. Yeah. It's old.
Yeah.
Dude,
I watched the first episode of Band of Brothers for the first time.
Oh,
David Schwimmer.
Best miniseries ever.
Yes.
Because that new one's coming out with Elvis.
Yeah, Heroes of the Sky or whatever.
Looks pretty awesome.
Yes. Heroes of the Sky.
Pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
Crazy.
It's got the guy that played Elvis in it, I think.
Yeah.
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 Hanksy. He's behind it again.
Yeah. Hanksy's all about those. There's actually a Band of Brothers podcast, and he's on one of the episodes. It's like 2 hours long, talking about the production and everything. And he knows his shit from like Saving Private Ryan and all that. You know, they really put a lot of time.
I also
love
what Tom Hanks did with the space program and pushing
forward. Jim Lovell.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And he also made From the Earth to the Moon, which is a program on HBO as well. Which
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
Us from literally just trying to get into space and to setting foot on the moon.
So interesting.
It's excellent. And Tom Hanks really does a good job.
Yeah. But John, let me know what you think of Band of Brothers. I just rewatched it maybe like a month ago. It's still, I visit that
blown
probably
away.
Once a year. It's just so
blown
good.
Away by Schwimmer being like the antagonist. Oh, in the
Captain
beginning.
Sobel.
And Brody from Homelander or from Homeland.
Yeah. Those eyes, man.
And that was, John, that was before they did all that.
I know, it's crazy because I remember that show being like on HBO. So, you know, I was in college and I never got to like watch it, I don't think. And
well,
I just kept pushing
right
it off.
After 9/11. Like, I think that it premiered like right before 9/11. So it was kind of like.
I was in college.
It was like a weird time. HBO.
Oh, weird.
Let me know. Yeah, let me know what you think of that. That's Damian Lewis's character. Dick Winters, he lived in Pennsylvania like Hershey his whole life. He's like from there. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that. That's really neat.
Clip here.
They got to be tired, the Rebs. They got to be close to the end if we so fix bayonets. Ellis, wait, Ellis,
look at
you
Harry.
Take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want to move forward to the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like
this
a
is
dog.
How Bob talks to his
down the hill just as they
subordinates
come
at work.
Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, Ellis, you take the left wing, and when I give the command, I want the whole regiment to go forward, swinging down to the right.
They literally swept down and pushed the Confederates like into the rest of their arm.
Move.
Here it is.
I mean, like, I just imagine myself.
Hold on, we gotta watch that.
That's what happens at 8 a.m. every morning in my office.
I want that to be my ringtone. Every time, bayonet! But it goes, but I don't have my phone, and it's going off in a store like 100 times, and I'm like, where is it? Where's my phone?
You left it at your desk and went to the bathroom.
But like the reality
of that
right
play.
There.
Put your head under a stall, and someone looks down and go, bayonet! As they're shitting after while wearing their football pads. That's a good bit.
Like that What precipitated that was they were literally out of ammunition. They were using rocks and shit to put into the rifles.
What?
To fire.
Why? They were told to hold the line?
Yes, they had to hold that part of the unit.
Yeah, why was that? Why did they have to hold it?
Because the Confederates would have flanked the whole Union line at that point. And it would have been end game.
Like it would have been a Swiss cheese thing where they
would
just...
Yeah, they would have just rolled over the back of the whole Union line.
So they were holding them off with like rocks and whatever was on the ground?
Yes. And Chamberlain realized that they needed to do something because they held off like, I think it was like three or four charges of General or Colonel Oates's Alabamians that were coming up the hill constantly and hitting them and then going back and hitting them, coming back and hitting them and coming back. And he said, you know, fuck this, we're going down. And the way, and it's actually accurate in the movie, the way he says we're going to sweep down and go to a certain side is because he wants to rush them over to the rest of, you know, he doesn't.
Where there's more reinforcements?
Yes. Yeah. He wants to rush them over to where they're, you know, they're weakest, essentially.
Oh, interesting. And so that is accurate.
And not let them get behind them.
When Chamberlain's saying like, yo, we got to force them this way, that's accurate because they were more reinforced over that area.
Yes.
So if Bob, if you're geographically, if you're at Gettysburg and you're like, say you're at Little Bighorn or not Little Bighorn, Little Round Top.
Yeah.
Is that like the woods, like the ridge behind? Like, where is that exactly?
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. It's not woods. It was woods back then, but it's not woods now. It's kind of open land.
Oh, so where they were in the battle, it was woods, but now it's just the open like field.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like necessarily an open field. Like you got woods behind you, but you're on top of a ridge with an open field in front of you.
Oh my gosh.
The way he wanted to sweep them down was to push them into the Union forces. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Because
they literally had nothing left. They were done. They were going to be screwed. Like another charge? Uh-uh. So you fix bayonets and you go down, and you stab those motherfuckers.
That's it. If you're fighting with like rocks and shit, it's done.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Play that again.
Oh my gosh.
Bayonet!
Dude, I feel like that is like a 90s thing. Like that, they would make him redo that today. Because it's comical. Because he's like,
this was.
Oh
this
yes,
yeah. It's amazing.
Okay, Clark. Before you...
at the beginning and the end, his Clark, back eyes it up again. Get real wide. His eyes get real remember, wide.
Remember something here. This is literally like 6 months. Six months after he did Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey.
Well, was it after Dumb and Dumber?
I can smell it on him.
Amazing.
Yes.
I like that actor to the left. He was in Mystic River in 13 Days.
My favorite guy in that show is, if you keep it going, is Buster, who's already wounded. He's the older guy.
Oh, that's what I mean, Buster. Yeah, that actor.
I love it. Keep it going. Let him go down. This literally...
I think we need to pick a day and watch the entire movie with audio commentary from Bob. I could listen to Bob talk about Gettysburg live all day.
Dude, I would
nobody
love
wants
to do that.
No,
oh, I want to do it.
Dude, it's a big thing. Watch alongs. You know, there's a lot of lonely people in the world. And like, I mean, my trailer reactions, even though I don't get a lot of views, there's hundreds of channels out there that have like millions of views because people just like to watch something with someone, even if they're not.
Yeah. Oh, I love your channel. So it's so exciting.
But I think it would be so funny or just fun to passenger channel.
Oh, it would be like, what was that show that was on?
Do a watch along.
I just want to do a watch along of John doing a watch along to blow your fucking minds.
What was that show on Comedy Central where they would watch movies and you would just see like the silhouettes of the back of their heads?
Mystery Science Theater.
Yes.
I love that show.
Yeah,
I love
it. Was good. Movies are saving. They did like The Blob on there one time, I think. What is stop motion?
This is so weird.
God, you are so fucking heavy. Jesus Christ.
We're watching John. Watch John.
It's like her Twilight stop motion movie. Stuff comes to life.
Oh, what is that Walk, thing? Watch.
But then it becomes like really, like, wait a minute, okay. What's happening now? I think you finished this film of yours. I don't know.
Come to life, isn't it?
All that stuff. It's called stop motion animation. What do you think?
It's a bit boring. It's
not. I'm kind of tired of these like asshole kids in horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. You want to hear it? They're kind of played out.
Or it's just like a key to be scary.
You won't
it's
like Five Nights at Freddy's. There's a big asshole kid in that. That's like the main character. With a doll, too.
Well, I mean, I can still enjoy the movie. Who's coming? The man no one wants. But it's also like...
Please, John.
You know, it's like there's such an indicator of like, here's...
What's don't trust happen?
This person. They ruined the big scene.
This was creepy.
Don't be scared.
Yeah, have
you
right,
seen the new
the whole movie?
True Detective season yet? Or yeah. Do you watch that?
With Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
I wanted to. Then so everyone trashed the first episode.
Oh my gosh.
I still think I heard the second episode the best.
Is that the one with Chris Rock or Vince Vaughn? Yeah.
That's season two. That's good, too.
Oh, my gosh.
With Christine Strange? I mean, Rachel McAdams?
John, I think
yeah,
you should...
She's in, great in that, too.
John, in these reaction videos, I think you should, like physically throw up. Like, just throw.
Yeah, start gouging yourself.
Stop motion.
Look, I edit this one, because what happens
like
is I...
About making a movie, though.
Here, visuals pause it. Look
really creepy. Did the stop motion people attack?
See, like, it's just a voiceover. Because in the original, I just get up and I walk out of the room. And I don't, like, give, like, a reaction. I'm just it's stupid.
You were just like, I can't.
I go, I'm sorry. And I get up and I walk out. But then I was like, fuck, I feel bad.
They did another last airbender after Shyamalan touched it. Oh, the Yankees cap. Oh, rare feat. Oh,
it looks really good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did that for the Asians. It didn't really work.
Did that one for the Asians.
You know, I put my Yankees hat showing forward.
Yeah.
I thought they'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you think so.
The, dude,
man,
that
the
show looks so
great.
Good. It's like, you know, it takes like an hour to do the
it's
whole
awesome.
Thing.
How do you find the trailers? Do you just...
It's been rough. It's been a rough week, as you can see, even though Constellation looks pretty crazy.
Constellation.
Everyone's waiting for the Super Bowl. Now, nothing good will happen until then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Deadpool 3.
That
trailer. That's going to be the drop. That's going to be the big drop for the Super Bowl. Like yeah. Last year was the Flash. This year.
Got a throbber for that.
Oh, yeah.
What's I rewatched The Flash again for the third time. I still love that movie. That's a
good
one.
Dude, I watch it. It's, you know what it is? It's a movie you can just throw on if yeah. You're like, I don't know what to pick. Because there's so much cool, you know, Keaton's
that's
in
what
it.
It is.
Flash running around is cool when he's
yeah. And in yeah, Deadpool 2, some guy
she's
like,
hot
flew into a wood chipper. So
oh yeah, that was Deadpool 2 is so good. I love Deadpool. Yeah.
Oh my god,
Deadpool. I love right Domino. She's so hot.
Yeah,
they are hot.
Yeah,
Domino. Her like superpower is luck.
Yes,
so cool. So good. It's like, that is not a superpower.
Everybody else is just shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they all die.
Oh my gosh.
Who is? I haven't heard yet. I don't really follow this so much anymore. But who's the Super Bowl halftime show this year? Is it anybody?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I see. It's weird. I remember growing
nobody
up,
cares.
You would like no, but
nobody
cares.
Here's the thing, and I've seen some of these conspiracy theories online, which I fucking hate. I hate conspiracy theories because I think the people that put them out there have too much time on their hands.
They just don't realize there's so many dumb people that will believe
fucking idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
And by believing whatever it is will cause a problem.
Yes.
Exactly. My body, my choice.
Yeah, exactly. And but they think that it's because of the officiating crew that's going to be officiating the Chiefs Ravens game. One of the officials on there, because it's a home game for the Ravens, is he has typically like 30% thrown flags for like the Ravens, so he is completely against them. Yeah. And NFL wants the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift, and you know,
of course,
and Andy Reid.
You know, yeah,
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
The halftime show is Usher.
Yeah.
Usher. Yeah. Usher. Yeah. He's still around. Interesting. Yeah.
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 I don't see any conspiracy theories on the NFC side.
No, I did hear a conspiracy theory from somebody that said, because the blowout of the Cowboys game was so high that they thought
that was wonderful.
It's a money game, and the refs are like paid. I was like, would you stop it?
No, just stop. The NFL wants the Cowboys to go far in the playoffs because
Jerry Jones wants it. He when his back's not turned
too. I mean, they have a lot of fans, so. It was great to see them destroyed by a rookie team.
That was better.
I don't care about the Eagles' loss.
Yeah, that was
watching them lose.
Typical.
It was great.
Better.
It was typical Cowboys. It's like everything is still okay in the world. They are still an unprepared, you know, bloated, like great in the regular season failure.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfectly said, John.
Mr. Hashner posted something like better than an Eagles win. And I was like, you know what? It is.
Yes. I like that.
Eagles need to put the season out of its misery right now. It's just, nobody has any faith for when they play the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. They get blown out by that many points. It was like kind of a sweet,
one of my coworkers,
better sweet sorrow.
Yeah. One of my coworkers is a Green Bay fan, and I walked in.
Oh, really?
And was just like, thank you. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I have no problem rooting for you guys, being happy for your team.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I wish they had gone farther because I think they're a pretty cool team too.
Yeah.
But I actually like the Lions. I like Dan Campbell, the coach. I like
me too.
The mentality there. And I fucking hate the 49ers.
Well, I don't really hate the 49ers, but I feel like Detroit, it is, like you said, Bob, it's kind of reminiscent of Philadelphia, like blue collar town. You know, they've never been this far. And, you know, that city as a whole has been through a lot in the last like century. And I don't know. It's kind of nice to see the underdog go. And it's like, I think if they were to go to the Super Bowl, there's only like three teams left that never went. And two of them are expansion teams. So I think it's like the Browns. And the Lions are like the last two, like original kind of teams that have never really been. So it's kind of cool to see that in your lifetime if they go.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And like, I know the 49ers are like a storied franchise. And I just don't like the way they handled last year after they lost to the Eagles. I think they were a bunch of little bitches. And
That's right. God, it's so funny when people complain about the human error.
Yeah.
Good call.
It's like when Tommy Lasorda used to yell at refs. I'm like, this is purely for him because he wants to just be on TV.
Tommy
knows nothing's going to happen.
Tommy's going to try to beat up the Philly fanatic.
Right. Yeah. Like he's Ric Flair. Like he's such a like performer.
Yes,
you know,
like
he knows
like
what he's
Ric
doing.
Flair.
But like these guys who post on like Twitter, like the referees cheated. I was like, gay.
That's like the election was stolen. Okay. All
right. Right. Exactly.
Good for you. Good for you.
It's so bad.
You piece of shit.
It's like, haven't you noticed like we're just not that organized? or to pull it off.
I think all of us,
sneaky.
The three of us here as Eagles fans have proved, like, you know, we didn't have it this year. All right. So, you know, it's fine to root for another team. And
oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what
and
I mean.
We don't bitch and complain about what calls didn't happen. It didn't go our way. We weren't going to win anyway.
No, exactly.
We weren't going to win anyway. And it's like, yo, you just can't complain about the referees. Like, you're not counting all the penalties. You're only counting the ones that make you angry.
Yes.
So, like, there's this lopsided tally in your brain. And you're like, oh, they're cheating. It's like, just shut up. It's just, it's people making errors.
Making it, right, exactly.
You don't have their viewpoint at all. You have the perfect viewpoint.
You're watching it from the TV.
Yeah.
These guys are on the fucking field.
You're watching it from a thousand eyes.
And not to mention when you're on the field, I mean, I'm sure there's a part of you that you forget everything going on outside of the field.
Yeah,
and
they there.
Make
But mistakes.
You're also on TV, like, you know, you are under a huge microscope.
Getting booed.
Like, error. Yeah.
It's, fans throwing batteries.
And they make mistakes.
Paying the tip.
And now they'll cancel you.
It's just what happens. You know, sometimes they make mistakes. They're human. You know, that's what happens.
And it's like you just don't remember all the mistakes they made for the other team, or I mean, for your team.
Yeah.
You know, like
to get to that point, like it's not just one mistake.
Right. It would be so obvious if it was like literal, like legit cheating.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me ask.
Holding.
Let me ask you guys, based on your expertise, intelligence, and foresight, do you think that Jason Kelce is going to retire? And if so, why hasn't he done it already? Do you think he's still like weighing it out?
I don't think he is. I think he would have done it already. I think he's going another season. Okay. I think he sees some potential in the team still.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to try to hang around for one more season. And part of that, too, is, you know, I can't say that's totally not biased. I hope he stays for another season, too.
I thought you guys said when he, like, broke down on his podcast, did he didn't say, like, I'm retiring. He just kind of, like, was.
No.
Yeah, I was like, everyone keeps saying that he's retired. I'm like, I've never seen anything where he said, I'm retired.
He hasn't announced anything.
And you know, official from the Eagles.
Give the guy who's been playing in the NFL for 15 years the opportunity to make his own mind up. You know?
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, there was nothing official. And when he broke down on his podcast, he said that, you know, some of his teammates were like, I feel sorry for you if this is your last game, you know, because they lost forever. And he's like, don't feel sorry for me. I fucking have done this and that.
Yeah.
And then that's when, like, he broke down. He was kind of thinking about, like, the Super Bowl and all that stuff. And then in the documentary, I don't know if you got to this part, they showed him, like, putting that thing on his arm to, like, get rid of
the electrodes.
Body inflammation. And his wife is like, I can't wait for him to retire. So he's with his kids. And, like, it all kind of pointed down to, like, okay, the thing on paper looks like he would retire, but the fact that he didn't at this point, I feel like he's gonna play another season. Like, you know, I feel like that kind of job, like it's like a Tom Brady thing. Like, why wouldn't you play as long as you can? Because once you're done, you're done.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
Unless
think a lot of these guys
you're
can
like banged up.
A shitty injury.
Yeah,
I think a lot of these guys can let it go. And at this point, even if you do get. Yeah. Like you said, John, like a shitty injury, you're done. So
you
can rehab.
And then what if it, like,
you don't have to worry about
the
coming
thing
back.
That you can do?
You just hope it's not like a bad head injury or something like that. And you know,
I mean, even a body injury, it's like that'll just suck now forever. You know, if he gets an injury late in his career like this, it'll just be something that sucks for the rest of his life. He's such a giant guy; it's not gonna like just
he's not.
You know, it's just gonna suck.
He's not a giant guy. I met him at Sea Isle at the OD.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. He is, like, shorter.
And I took a piss next to him. He's only, like, 2 inches taller than me. And he is not, like, he does not.
It's like when I saw.
He does not look like an athletic specimen. He
Anthony
is
Rizzo.
Just a fucking athlete.
He said in his doc.
Just a
in the
ball
docu-
of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said in the documentary, he's like, as a 35-year-old, football player. I'm in like good shape. He's like, it's a 35-year-old man. Like, I'm not in good shape. And he was talking about all the, you know, you play in the NFL for 15 years, your body takes a toll. Yeah, and you can kind of see that when he walks off field. He's kind of like,
yeah, he looks stiff.
It's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, you're in a car crash for 17 weeks, you know, at best, every fucking season.
Right.
So, right. I know.
I hope he stays on for another year.
I hope he does for one more season, selfishly. And I hope he does. I think he will because of what, you know, Brandon Graham said he was going to stay.
Yeah.
Which is huge, which that guy has been a lifelong Eagle. And you talk about an engine on somebody when a big play needs to be made, he makes it on defense.
He's kind of the soul of the team.
Yes, he is on defense. Yeah. And I think we need him for one more season, Graham, carry this defense forward because there's going to be a lot of changes there. We don't have any linebackers or secondary, and they're going to change it.
I was just going to say, besides our defense absolutely just vanishing in the last 6 weeks of the season, like what was like our biggest weakness?
The three of us could have played defense on that team.
Yeah, I think Steven West could
have made more tackles.
Don't you think they need a better running game too?
They just need to utilize the running
game. What happened to Swifty?
Swifty, I think, is still there.
He was good, and then did he fall off?
No, you got Swift, and they didn't run him correctly. They ran him in bad situations. And when they
kind of too late in the game.
Yeah, it was too late in the game. Like, the defense is already figuring it out. Fuck? And they know.
You got to get the ball running in the early days.
Here it comes.
You know, like, Westbrook and Shady McCoy would have these record games when it's like, give it to them the first three plays.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happened, just like
they underutilized him.
Part of that was good play calling as well.
Yeah. Don't you feel like he was underutilized though? Like it was late in the game, and they're like, let's
give it to Swift. Who's the other running back?
Doug Peterson. Yeah. We fired him after like Super Bowl.
Well, the reason why Doug Peterson
got fired
is because Howie and Jeffrey Lurie met with him, and they wanted to do some different things with the coordinators, and Doug was like, no. And
why would you try?
It'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting.
The Jews.
They're not firing.
They wedged them out.
Yeah.
I think we just got the Dolphins. We're interviewing the Dolphins defensive coordinator, which doesn't really make sense to me because their defense fucking sucked.
No.
Never hire anything from that comes through the Miami Dolphins. It's like they forget how to do football when they work for this team.
Thanks, Ray Finkel.
Thanks,
yes, yeah, it's all his fault. The laces were in. I mean, out.
Laces were Jim in, Dan.
They were in.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to take out, take the Chargers, turn them around next year?
No.
This is like his third stint in the NFL, right?
He's not an NFL coach. It's different.
But isn't this like Saban. His third stint?
It's Saban being in the NFL.
National champions.
A college team like a kingdom, and you can make that your kingdom and work that all throughout everything eventually. You can't do that with an NFL team because of the salary cap and that you have other grown men who make more money than you do that you're coaching. So,
and the Chargers are just
they're
just the worst.
Yeah, it's a mess.
They couldn't win with Philip Rivers, who's like arguably like up there with Brady and Manning and Roethlisberger of that like era, but he didn't get anything because the Chargers are cursed.
They're the
like him, Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning, and Breeze were like the top five of that era, and they were like tearing it up. And then they couldn't do anything with it.
He could never like mount a comeback. He could never like keep. He would like be up 35-0 at halftime and then lose.
Now that Belichick is out.
Score more?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Let's let the defense do some work, maybe.
He takes his foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think is the best coach in the NFL right now?
Best coach in the NFL?
Right now.
Reed. Andy Reed.
Yeah, Andy Reid. I'd have to give it to Andy Reid.
To be doing it this consistently, it's insane.
It is insane.
Patrick Mahomes has only been in the playoffs. Like his whole career, he's only been in the playoffs. Like he's never played.
Yeah, how do you guys agree, Reid?
I will bump that a little bit and say Mike Tomlin. Steelers.
Wow.
I just read something on him. He was talking.
Two titles?
Yeah.
Two titles. Two. I'm not talking about titles. I'm talking about more consistency.
Remains relevant. It's like no
Andy Reid has been great with the Chiefs. He was great with the Eagles, you know, NFC championships and all that stuff. But right. Mike Tomlin has had winning seasons every season he's been with the Steelers.
Good and call.
He always like does it for a portion of the season with like their third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Every year.
The guy that like you yeah, like it's you and I. Playing quarterback.
So-and-so is on the bench. So-and-so is out for 6 months.
For them, and Mike Tomlin could still have a winning season.
Right. Yeah.
Is Andy Reid going to stay on after this year? Because there were rumors that he was going to retire.
No, he'll stay on.
Why wouldn't he, right?
He's going to go till he dies. He can't give this up.
Yeah. There you go. You guys want to put tonight in the W column? It's almost at the 2-hour mark.
Yeah, my headphones are about to die. My butthole's about to die. I ate some chili earlier. Go Niners.
Now, we got to do this more, guys.
Go Lions. Go Lions, baby.
It is
there. Okay. All right. Before we leave,
there's a million things that we didn't talk about.
Let's get some scores here.
Vince McMahon accused of trafficking. That's good.
Vince McMahon?
Oh. Yeah. It seems like bad.
Okay.
It just came out minutes ago.
Usually when trafficking in your name comes up, it's not good.
Yeah, but you know how it comes and goes. But it's like, this actually is, it's like all over the place.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Before we leave.
Vincent Kennedy.
Before we leave, scores for the game. Baltimore Chiefs. I'm going to go 34-31 Chiefs. Lions. 49ers, I'm going to go 38-36 Lions.
Yeah, that game will come down to the dick wire. Yes. Are they still in the same division?
Indeed. They were.
No. Wow,
they're not.
Oh, they're not anymore. Okay.
I'm going to say Chiefs and Ravens will be 28-24. Chiefs and Lions 49ers will be 18-10 49ers.
Oof, low scoring game.
Yeah.
I like that, Clark. I like that.
We'll see.
I'm going to go like 38-34 Ravens, 42-6 Niners.
Holy
there
shit.
You go. That's it.
Holy shit. Yeah, we can end on that.
Let's do this again soon. Let's love you guys. Baby. I love doing this.
Yeah, love
Let's
you guys. Go. Great time.
Yeah. Great time.
Here's a story about my homeboy Randy. He was hooked on a girl named Candy. Started off as sex for fun. Now girls got him on the run. Made love to her just one time. Now she runs his body and mind. He calls every day on the phone, but baby's playing games.
Leave a message at the tone.
Soft and gentle is not her style. This girl is so damn wild. All my partners wanna get next to her, but she ain't down with that. She moves right through them, yeah, like paper plates. Tears them up and she throws them away. If you had any guts today, you get your butt up and you walk away, but you're hooked. Hooked. Know what I'm saying? You're hooked. Hooked. Yo, get tough was your new campaign. Crying over girl, boy, you insane. She
treat you like a dirty diaper. Use you one time, and then she wipes you out. You understand?